Get your Bibles out and go to the book of John chapter 14. We're just going to preach off the cuff here and follow the Holy Ghost. How many of y'all really enjoy peace? Yes. You know, I like peace. There's a time for war, but I like peace. I like to have peace. I like to know that no matter what's screaming around me, whatever's screaming around in the world, whatever the world's saying, whatever's going on, what everybody else is doing, that I just know on the inside of me, I want to have a sense of peace that I'm where I'm supposed to be. Amen? That's the most mighty, powerful thing you can have in life. To be in turmoil, to live a life in turmoil, it's no good. Amen? And it says here in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." Wow. I mean, here's the Son of God. He knows what's about to go down. They don't know what's about to happen. He knows what's going to happen. He's going to go to the throne of God. He knows what. And he tells his disciples, said, "Man, peace I'm going to leave with you." And then he said, "My peace I give to you." So it's a peace. You know, so many people in this world think that once you get whatever, vested in your company or get your retirement funds or get, you know, a certain amount of money or arrive to a certain status or buy that property on the golf course or whatever it is that they set as their desire. You know, it could be a bigger ranch, whatever the thing is that the person looks at that says, when I get there, then I'm going to be happy. Right? Always finds out when they get there, that it's temporal, that it'll be good for a while, but then, you know, the frustrations of life and the problems of life are still there, maybe in a larger way now because you just have more stuff to take care of. So Jesus said, "I'm not going to give you peace like the world wants peace. I'm going to give you my peace." So think about that for a minute. What does it mean, his peace? You know, think about that. I mean, you know, during Easter, I watched, it was on television. I have the videotape, but I can hardly stand to watch it. You know, the Passion of Christ, the Mel Gibson one, you know, with, what's his name, Jim Chavezel or whatever, you know. That was the best Jesus there ever was, you know. But, and I was watching and I was just, you know, it was right at the end of the crucifixion scene, all he was going through and all that kind of stuff. And I was just watching it thinking, you know, just moments before this, you were sitting having supper with everybody and nobody else knew. You knew what was going to happen, but they didn't know what was going to happen. And how we probably get the whole story all wrong of what's going on. But Jesus sat there. This is one of his last words he gave his disciples. He said, "I want to give you peace, but not peace like the world has. I want to give you my peace." All right? So let's think about that tonight. Let's go on. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid," okay? So that's the peace I'm talking about. I want this peace. All right? So now let's go to a story over here in the book of Acts. I believe it's 28. It's 28. Acts 28. Okay, you know, you probably know the story. They're taking Paul to Rome, and they're on the ship, and the ship's out in the middle of the sea, and they didn't listen to him, and it's about to get sunk, and, you know, you can imagine what it was like on that thing, pitching and bucking in the waves, and everybody's freaking out. And so then they finally make it to this island, and verse 1 says, "Now when they had escaped, then they found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us an unusual kindness, for they were they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, they laid them on the fire, and a viper came out because of the heat, and it fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging on his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer whom they thought he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live.' But he shook off the creature in the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead. I don't know why I never saw that. It just seemed he going to swell up. Snake bit him. He swelled up like a toad, you know. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. And after they had looked for a long time, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their mind and said, he's a god. Okay. Few things here in this story. First thing, you see the Apostle Paul going out and gathering sticks. And so to put in the fire. So he wasn't lazy. He wasn't having anybody do his work. He went out and gathered this bundle of sticks. I don't know, but I would think that if I gathered up a bundle of sticks, I might notice a snake in the sticks before I ever picked them up. But, you know, I mean, that's neither here nor there. So he picks up the sticks. He goes back and it says they see the snake bite him on the hand. Okay. Everybody looks over there and it says the snake is hanging on his hand. Man, I don't even know about that. I mean, there ain't no snake going to hang on my hand for very long that I'm not going to just freak out and go, yeah, you know, the snake, right? They see him. It's like hanging on his hand. And so then he just calmly shakes it off into the fire. Now, think of that story, folks. You talk about freak out city. A snake bite me? And you're just going to shake it off into the fire and say, that's no big deal? Paul had something here that we need. Didn't Jesus say, my peace I want to give to you? He didn't say, oh my God, I got bit. Somebody, you know, what do we do? Do we cut it? Who's going to suck the poison? Or what's going, you know what I mean? He didn't start immediately looking at it. He didn't say he fell on his face and started praying. Didn't say that he said, oh my God, I got bit by a snake. Oh, Jesus, I don't know. He went Pentecostal or something all on him, right? He just shook it off. That, folks, I'm going to tell you, to me, because I hate snakes, is the epitome of the faith and the knowing that God has you and he's taking care of you. It's the faith knowing that when you're out on the sea and the sea looks like you're, and if that didn't kill you, you're not worried about a snake. It's the faith of knowing that when Paul was on the ship and Jesus came to him and said, don't worry, everything's going to be okay, that peace rested and resounded out on the inside of him, that he was not even concerned of a viper biting him. Now, they knew the snake. It wasn't like he probably got bit by a rat snake and it really wasn't a snake, because the natives said, oh, he got bit by a rat, he's going to die. Right? There's no way you can, you know, Paul said, they just didn't really know what the snake was. It was just, you know, rat snake or something. He didn't really, you know, No. They knew what it was. But Paul, and that, I don't know about y'all, but I want to be there. I want to be at that place when the trauma happens or the something happens, that I can just be just like Paul and say, shake it off. That's the peace of Jesus that we need. So when the doctor's report comes back and says you got cancer, you know, you can shake it off just like a viper into the fire and say, you know what I'm saying? That's peace, folks. That is the epitome of peace. So how do we get there? I've been there. And I dwell there, and then some stupid reason, I get up and I leave the house and go somewhere else for a while. Right? Are y'all with me? I think we've all at times experienced that peace of God, but then we let the world and what's going on and daily grind or the troubles or the traumas or whatever take us out of that dwelling of peace. And then we go out there in the streets. Then we come to our senses, and then we go back. But why don't we just live there? Right? And I don't think that Jesus told us anything in the Bible that is not attainable. Right? He didn't set something out there and say, well, this is really good, but you'll never make this mark. No. If he said we can have peace, then we can have peace. If he said, my peace I leave with you, then we can have that peace. Right? Okay. So let's investigate this and let's look at this a little bit. Let's go to another story before I get into this one. Go to the book of 1 Samuel. I think it's 20. Nine, maybe? Yes. 1 Samuel 29. I don't want to read it. You got to read the whole chapter to. Let me just tell you what it says. It was a time in David's life that Saul is trying to kill him. And he's fled. And if you go back and you read 28, he goes into the camp of the Philistines. He's over in the Philistine territory. And he's living there and he's living it with this Apek is his name, I guess, or Apek. You know, I don't know how you say it, but. Apek sounds better. We'll call him Apek tonight. And so he's living over there at the Philistines with this dude named Apek. And so he kind of, it seems to me in reading the scriptures, and maybe when I get to heaven, David will tell me I didn't know what I was talking about, but it seems to me that David was kind of losing focus. He was over there with them because he couldn't go back to be in Israel. He couldn't go back to be king, and he knew he was king. He knew he was called to be king. He knew Saul didn't have any right to kill him. But he started losing focus, and he went over there to the Philistines, and what he would do was he would go out and he'd raid the other clans or the other nations, and then he would come back and tell this guy, the Philistine, well, I attacked a Hebrew city, or I attacked a city over there in Israel, so that he would think he was, you know, he was one of him. He wasn't dedicated to Saul, so he wouldn't get killed. And it seems like he kind of lost focus because he started plundering. He started doing good. He started doing all this. And so then the day comes in chapter 29 where the Philistines are going to go out and fight Israel. And so David saddles all his men up, and he's going out fully well intent on fighting on the side of the Philistines. Now, like I said, I make it to heaven, and David tell me I didn't know what I was talking about. And if so, well, that'll be an easy to repent over that. But the reason why I think that is because you see down here, and they come up, and everybody's coming to battle, and then the other Philistine princes, and over in 4, 5, 6, they say, man, what are you talking about? You can't have David fight us. We're going to go out and fight him, and man, he's going to be behind us, and he's going to, you know, flank us, and he's going to, you know, attack us in the midst of this. He's not going to attack Saul. And so the guy says, man, he's a good guy. He's been with me forever. Everything's okay. And then he gets down here and he says, so verse 8. So David said that, whatever this dude's name is, but what have I done to this day? What have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you that I may go and fight against the enemies of the Lord, the king? So see, David's dead set. He's telling the guy, what are you talking about? I've been faithful to you. Let me go fight. So I'm saying, I believe he's gotten off focus. He's losing where his loyalty lies. He's losing who he really is. He's starting to get lost. And that's what happens to us in the world. When we stay in the world too long and we stay out of the place of peace where we can't really hear Jesus, then we start to lose who we are in life and what we're really called to do. And the enemy begins to mold us around, and we become actually fighting for the enemy rather than fighting against the enemy. Are y'all with me? I mean, we've all seen this happen in life. Someone who's hurt and becomes bitter, then next thing you know, the bitterness starts to come out of them onto somebody else. And so you're actually helping the enemy create more people that are bitter versus getting healed yourself and telling everybody how Jesus can set you free. Right? So the loyalty here, David's gotten off. He's going to go fight as a Philistine against Saul. You're talking about the same guy who, when Saul went into the cave, David cut a corner off of his cloak, you know, and felt bad about that. Said, I'm sorry, man. I came against the Lord's anointing. I cut your end of your shirt tail off, basically. And now he's like, hey, I'll go kill him. Because that's what happens when you live in the camp of the enemy. When you stay out of in the place of turmoil for too long, what happens to you is you begin to get to the place where you can't see really what peace is, and you start to lose focus on what the importance is of life. what your call is in life, what God wants you to do in life. I'm learning as I get older that I don't have any emotional energy to burn. There's no sense getting all mad and stirred up because I just don't really have the energy, the emotional energy to spend getting mad about it. Y'all with me? You used to get mad and it seemed like it just made me feel stronger. Now it just like drains me. I don't want to mess with it. I don't want to go into there anymore. I just want to stay in a place of peace. Okay? I'm not a pacifist. Don't get that. Don't misfigure on what that word means, you know, right? But I want to be in peace. I want to go to war in peace. I want to live in peace. You see what I mean? I want to be in that place. If you get to listen to the voice of the enemy for too long, you're going to end up like David. You're going to get misdirected in life. And then before long, the real Lord's anointed that you're supposed to be serving is becoming the one that you're going to go fight. And you think it's right. Here's the key to living in peace. Just look at this. Now, the problem was, is these Philistine princes didn't want David to fight. Y'all with me? So he said, you can't fight with us. They stopped him from committing the great sin that would have been the ruin of David to attack the Lord's anointed being Saul. The Philistines actually saved David from making the biggest mistake of his life. Now, why did they do that? Because I believe that David, the Bible says, had a heart that was after God. All right? And so God saw his heart and said, look, he's just getting off and he's getting wackier. We've got to order his steps. And we've got to prepare his way. And we've got to make the crooked path straight. So God used the Philistines to stop David from making the biggest mistake of his life. And David didn't even know what was going on. Go to Proverbs 20, 21. Man, I'm in the 20s tonight. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. In other words, because God knew what David's heart was, he was making sure that wherever his foot fell, that was going to be the place. Psalms 37 says, the Lord orders the steps of a righteous man, right? He orders the steps of a righteous man. I've told you all this before and forever, that he doesn't order his standing stills. He orders his steps. That means when you're going to put your foot down, he puts it where it needs to be. But that means you got to be making forward progress. So that means faith is involved in this, that you have to be stepping and saying, Lord, you know my heart. I love you and I want to do what's right. I don't want my will to be exacted upon whatever's going on in life. I want your will to be done. That's what Jesus prayed. He said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, that place of peace comes from trusting in the Lord and being able to say, Lord, it's not my will that I want done. I want your will to be done. You have my heart. I want to do what you want me to. So Lord, put my foot where it needs to be. Isaiah, I believe it's 45, is where he says, he takes and he makes all the crooked paths straight. Right? So not only is he saying, I'm going to order your step, your foot's going to be in the right place, but I'm going to straighten out the crooks that are even going to get to messing you up and causing you to stumble. The secret to walking in peace is having that place of faith in your life to say, Lord, I trust you. My heart is yours. I want your will. And I thank you that you're going to put my foot where it needs to be and you move forward. But what happens to us when we lose the pieces, we start to exact our will instead of his will. We may not know what his will is exactly. I've always been a person, I said, man, I've told the Lord almost every day of my life, I said, Lord, man, I don't know exactly what you want me to do today, but just get me in the right place at the right time. I mean, I can't just stand around here all morning waiting for you to tell me something. I got to move. So just get me to where I need to be at the right place at the right time. You know my heart. I don't want to do something wrong. I don't want to. I'm not trying to get off track. How many of y'all in life, you've done things, and it went real easy, and you said, "Wow, that was nice," and then you've done other things that were real hard, you know, and you get into turmoil. And we want to, listen to me. We want to write it off and say, oh, well, I must have missed God. That's the reason why this was hard. Paul's trying to get to Rome, and he's been shipwrecked, and he got bit by a snake. Most Christians, after they got to the ship, off onto the land out of the shipwreck, if they got bit by a snake, would be mad. And be saying, God, what is going on? I mean, can't you keep a stupid snake from biting me? I mean, my gosh, what is going on, Lord? This is ridiculous. Here I am. I'm cold. I'm wet. Trying to build a fire. And I get bit by a snake. And what in the world's going on around here? Would that not be most Christians? You know, and then in that story back in Acts, you know, then they have miracles and everything takes place and the chief gets healed and everybody gets, you know, miracles took place after that. But if we'd all been mad sitting over in our hut complaining about, you know, what was going on, praying over our snake bite. Right? Calling a prayer meeting and praying over the snake bite, asking, that is, what do y'all usually do when somebody gets bit by a snake? Trying all their remedies, prayer, remedies and prayer and remedies. And you know what I'm saying? But when he's in that place of peace, he just shook it off. And everything went on. Miracles took place. Everything was great. But it has to come with doing, believing in your faith that your steps are ordered by God because you know your heart's with him and all you want is God's will. Then you take that place of rest of faith and say, Lord, you're going to get me where I need to be. And peace is mine. Amen? So I guess the real message tonight is, because I don't think I told you anything you didn't already know, but I think the real message tonight is, watch out. Huh? Don't leave the house. Don't leave the place of peace. Just watch out, man. Oh my goodness. We need to be so attentive to what we're doing. And just watch out, man. Don't let yourself get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked with what's going on around us. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. That's it. I'll take some peace. Well, somebody grab the offering bucket back there tonight. Let's take up our offering. The Wednesday night offering clinker's not here. He had to go to school. There you go. Learn from the best, huh? Okay, y'all, don't forget about the bull riding on the 25th. Tracy, I hadn't even talked to you about that, but we're not going to have church Sunday morning of the 25th at Memorial Day. We're going to be over in Uvalde at the fairgrounds, but we need to gather together a prayer team to have people there. And so if you're interested in being a part of that,